This is the Covenant Eyes Podcast.
You take away my mobile phone, you'll take away a part of me.
This distinction between the physical world and the virtual one will become increasingly blurred.
Those who perhaps are not very aware of this technology may say, can't you just switch it off?
Thanks for tuning in to the Covenant Eyes Podcast. I'm your host, Luke Gilkerson, and I'm joined today with my friend, Pastor Jim Rose. Today, you will hear part two of our interview with Mark Castleman. Mark is the author of The Drug of the New Millennium, a book about how pornography use affects the brain. In today's portion of the interview, Mark talks about the cycle of addiction for someone who is compulsively looking at pornography. Mark vividly describes heights of abstinence and self-control to the depths of giving in to temptation. Mark also talks about why young people are particularly vulnerable to the negative effects of watching pornography. You won't want to miss today's interview on the Covenant Eyes Podcast.
Mark, I'm looking at the funnel. It's on in your book on page 48, and you talk about the public self and the fantasy private self. Talk a little bit about then how some of this works out in a person's lifestyle with public and private selves and all that.
Yeah, what happens, the first thing I should mention is, you know, why do people turn to pornography? This addiction attacks the brightest, the most tender-hearted, and in fact, even the most spiritual people get pulled into this. And people say, well, that doesn't make sense. Why is that? Well, if you think about it, people who are very bright, they get bored easily. They're often very visual. They need a lot of stimulation for the brain. And so, of course, the internet and an endless supply of pornography provides that. They're also very tender-hearted, which means that they often have been hurt in relationships, so they isolate, they disconnect, and they're looking for that connection, and they can find an artificial form of the connection online. And then they're very spiritual. And I would say that a lot of individuals caught up in pornography are hyper-spiritual. And this is where we get into this public-private self issue. These individuals care so much about you know, obeying God, about being right with Him, about being approved by Him, that they often set themselves up for such a level of perfectionism that it's unattainable. And they put so much pressure on themselves and try to do everything right that eventually they just get worn out by the process, and then they find themselves escaping, you know, for self-medication and relief from this, you know, this rigid life that they try to live, and they go to the pornography as a way to escape and self-medicate.
Yeah, I noticed you use the image of or the metaphor of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And this is, you know, I can't help but see those same parallels. I know when I was struggling myself with pornography addiction, that's really kind of how it felt. It felt like two different people housed in the same body.
Yeah, because you have your public self that's trying to be, you know, the perfect father, the outstanding citizen, you know, the perfect Christian.
Yeah.
And you're trying to do all of that as you appear to other people, but inside you have this conflict. You feel shame. You feel inadequacy. You feel like you're never going to measure up or make the level. And so you have this this secret way of escaping all of that, you know, with the fantasy world of pornography.
Yeah.
And so there's two people living inside of you.
Wow.
And you consider one to be, you know, the good upstanding person that everyone sees, but then there's this secret, you know, terrible, dark person that no one knows about. And the problem with this addiction, especially, I call it the stealth addiction, because individuals have such fear that if anyone finds out that I'm involved with this dark world, my life is over. I mean, they won't be able to accept me any longer. My reputation will be ruined. They won't love me.
Yeah.
And so I can't divulge this. And I often say, you know, myself included in the early years, those caught up in pornography would rather die than disclose because they're so afraid of what's going to happen. And so, yeah, it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and you just they just go back and forth between those worlds.
Is this sort of part of the I noticed in your funnel diagram there, you say that this is sort of part of the hopeless dialogue that happens after the climax. Not wanting to be caught. Is there more to that hopeless dialogue?
It really is, because what happens is individuals will get caught in a cycle, and it's actually what we call the control and the release cycle. So if you're in the control phase, think of two circles. In each circle, they're side by side, and the circle on the left is the control phase. And in the control phase, you're trying to do everything right. You're trying to control every part of your life, trying to do well, you know, in your work, with your family, with your church, with your community. You're just trying to keep up the face and just keep it all going, keeping all the balls in the air. Well, eventually that thing winds so tight, and it's impossible to reach this perfectionism in all areas. And then you will, out of desperation, you'll go over to the release phase or the other circle, and that's where you go into the funnel and look at pornography as a way to escape that whole control phase that you've been in. And then you release those neurochemicals, and for a few moments or hours, you feel release. You feel, oh, I don't have to fight all of this and keep all of this up anymore. But the problem is, as you reach that crescendo or that climax, you come out of that narrow place in that funnel or hourglass, and now as those neurochemicals dissipate and kind of clear out of your brain and your nervous system, your brain returns to its normal functioning level. Your limbic system now switches off, and your frontal lobes, your CEO, comes back into play. And now all of a sudden reality returns, and you think, oh, my goodness, what have I done? Oh, I can't believe it. What was I thinking? You know, what about my God and my wife and my family and my beliefs and my goals? Where did they all go? I mean, you look at your watch and it was 6 hours, you know, in front of pornography, and it's devastating. And so as the brain functioning returns to normal, it becomes this hopeless dialogue. I can't believe I did that again. And unfortunately, the person wallows around in, I call it, self-flogging, self-loathing, self-hatred. They beat themselves up for days or weeks after the event. And then you have a determination, okay, that's the last time I'm going to look at that. Now I'm really going to try hard, and I'm going to do this time. And so what does the person do? They go right back into that control phase to do everything right, and it spins tighter and tighter, and then eventually they can't keep it going, and they go right back to the release phase again. And so they cycle through that over and over and over.
Wow.
And it seems like a place that you just can't get out of.
Talk a little bit, Mark, about how this affects young people. I noticed one of the things in the book was, of course, you talk a lot about the brain and the development of the brain. What happens when young people are looking at porn or are exposed to porn?
Well, there's a big problem with pornography in young people, and there are a couple reasons for that. You know, of course, one of the things that has really set our young people up today is technology. You know, I don't know how old you guys are, but if you look at, you know, me when I was a teenager, we didn't have you know, computers and video games and cell phones. We didn't have any of those things. It was you had to look pretty hard to find pornography, and it was traditionally in magazine form. But it was quite a task to try and get hold of it. Well, that's not the case today. I mean, it's everywhere, and it's available at the push of a button. So we have young people who are technology savvy,
yeah,
and they have access to pornography, you know, very, very easily.
Sure.
So that's one of the problems. The other side of it is the funnel process I've described is more severe in the teenager, because they have a brain that is built to be more susceptible to the limbic system, to the pleasure-driven, reward-driven part of the brain. What we know about pre-adolescence and adolescence is that they have a brain that is not fully matured. And so you have a limbic system that's those frontal lobes, that's all the sound decision-making process, and then you have that emotional part of the brain. What the brain scans show is that a person's limbic or logic system and their emotional system don't fully wire and connect up until they're in their mid-20s. So think of this. You have teenagers who have access to this powerful drug-releasing activity called pornography, and they have a brain that is almost solely emotionally pleasure-reward-driven. And frontal lobes, where logic, reason, and sound judgment are located, that doesn't connect up well in their brain. And so they are extremely susceptible to this material and can be pulled in very easily and really caught up in it. And quite frankly, because of the way their brain's structured, they don't care about the consequences. They don't care about how it affects them, you know, with God or their future or their goals or their family, because that part of the brain is not fully online.
Well, and from your research, does this have any long-standing effect on brain development for teenagers?
It does, and here's the problem. And this has come from the work of great men like Dr. Don Hilton, who's a neurosurgeon and professor of neuropsychology, and a number of others, who what they're finding in the brain scans is that addiction has a severe effect on how it alters the brain. So, for example, and this is not just pornography, they've actually found that there are four categories of addiction that affect the brain in a similar way. And those categories are drugs, alcohol, pornography or sexual addiction, and the other one that's kind of surprising to some people is food.
Oh, okay.
And so those four areas of addiction, what they do is they literally shrink the frontal lobes. They diminish the logic part of your brain so that you lose your ability to make good choices. And as that part of the brain shrinks, those addictive activities also overcharge or super stimulate the limbic part of the brain, the pleasure center of the brain, and it becomes dominant. And actually what happens over time, if you engage in activities like pornography that release massive amounts of dopamine, the dopamine receptors in that limbic part of your brain, they start to shrink down because you're just overcharging them. You know, the dopamine receptors say, look, I can't handle this flow of dopamine. It's too much. So the dopamine receptors will shrink. What that means is in order to get the same rush or high next time, you've got to have more dopamine because your receptors are taking up less of it.
This is where we see the transition from, say, looking at softcore pornography to going to the harder stuff and things that you possibly never would have imagined yourself looking at, you suddenly do because now you're needing more dopamine in order to get
fixed. Yeah, because your brain's habituating to those old images and they no longer give the same response in your brain any longer, so you've got to go to something more, either spend more time, have more variety, or seek something that's more hardcore or you know, taboo. And so, yeah, that's why you find people escalating. So this can really have a dramatic effect on a teenage brain because now they have a brain that's where the logic center and pleasure center is not connecting very well. And so now you're handicapping that process even further, because they're engaging in something that's shrinking the frontal lobes and over-exaggerating the pleasure center. And so you can delay that maturity or connection process that should take place in the early to mid-20s. You can delay that and to where it takes longer for them to, I guess you could say, grow up or, you know, start making good decisions.
That makes those first exposures to porn really very significant in our mental or psychological development as well. I mean, I'm sure I've asked a lot of men this. They can remember the time and the place and the event and the circumstances around that first exposure, because it was such an imprint in their brain.
Yeah, and you know, people have they have such a hard time understanding that. And what happens is when someone has an experience with pornography, which, you know, in my case and in most instances, they weren't necessarily seeking for it,
mm-hmm.
you know, it was accidental or a friend introduced them or what have you, and they have this powerful experience, and afterwards they feel great shame and guilt about having been, you know, attracted to that or aroused by that. And it isn't until they understand this chemical process that they really start to realize, you know, look, I'm not a freak, I'm not a loser, I'm not a lost cause. There's a logical explanation about why I was attracted to those images. This is a chemical process that's built into my very DNA programming.
Hmm.
This is how I'm supposed to respond to those kinds of things.
Hmm.
And when they get that education and understanding, boy, you just see the shame start to lift off of their shoulders,
hmm.
and they can start to make some really great progress.
Wow.
Thanks for listening to this interview with Mark Castleman. Again, you can read more about what Mark was talking about in his book, The Drug of the New Millennium. Stay tuned for part 3 of his interview when he talks more about how the porn industry markets to women as well as men. He will also talk about how the porn industry uses this knowledge about pornography addiction to market their websites. Lastly, Mark will talk some about how pornography affects crime rates and statistics concerning rape. This is Luke Gilkerson, and you have been listening to the Covenant Eyes Podcast.